And everyone said, amen. Now we'll read, if you've got your syllabus, we'll go to the page of scriptures. And we'll read together the first 8 verses. By that is on that 1-2-2004 diskette under scriptures. And here we go. Brighten up, Mary. The worst is yet to come. You'll survive. You'll be all right. And here we go. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, we're cooking on something. Two main objects of prayer with several sidelights. Our main one is for an outpouring of God's Spirit from heaven. Now, I believe this is going to come. I felt it when I came in this morning, because as I say, I've been in bed all the last 3 days, and I came in this morning, I could feel the uplift, which means people are praying. So I don't know whether you felt that or not, but I could feel it very distinctly. So God is answering prayer. And we're going to pray, and there's a 5-letter word. Until it happens. And we have, you want to put up Acts 1:8? I think Acts 1:8 will be what would you say, keynote or slogan or whatever. Has he got Acts 1:8? Oh, that man is prepared. Let's say it together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Where's the rest of it? I guess the King James adds, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So we say that. But evidently this is West God Hort or something. By the way, Mrs. Galindo, maybe you can help Margaret upstairs. We've got a Spanish thing going upstairs. And please invite 4 more Spanish people the next time you come. Spanish speaking. We're trying to get a Spanish speaking church going. I guess Stan get some Spanish thing. All right, so evidently the Westcott and Hort doesn't include that, but it's all right. We know that's the way God wants it, because it's also in Matthew in the 28th chapter. It says, go into all the world. Now, there's 2 words there that we want to notice. First of all is the word power. Now, I've explained before there are 2 Greek words for power. There's one that means power, and the other one means authority. Now, a lot of times we use them interchangeably. For example, we may say that policeman has power to arrest us. But what we mean is authority. We don't mean power. He also has power. He carries the power on his hip. There's a big difference. See, a diplomat can be in a foreign country and can say something that is authoritative from the President of the United States, but he has no power. See, unless there's Marines guarding the embassy or something, he has no power. How many see the difference there? The Greek word for authority is exousia, and the Greek word for power is dunamin, from which we get dynamo, dynamite. Dyne is a unit of energy. Anything else?
Dynamic.
All come from that Greek word dunamin. Now, that's the word that's used here. This is not authority. This is power. You shall receive power. We notice that the second word I want to emphasize is witnesses. Now, we use the word when we're really talking about ministering or whatever. It doesn't matter. The thing is, we need power. Our country is in a moral decline. And I think probably the majority of American people probably are upset about that. Now, they're not the ones that get their voice in the paper or seen in the street, the activists, who would make you think that they were in the majority. They are not in the majority. They're just noisy. The majority are busy working, keeping the country going. And every once in a while, something smokes them out. Well, I dare say that the majority of Americans still are very uneasy about abortion, are very uneasy about homosexual practices, are very uneasy about vulgarity on the television and in the movies. They're very uneasy about it. But they get shouted down by the people that have got a lot of time to stand and protest while the others are working. I hope I don't sound bitter on that, but I've been observing this pattern for a long time, back to the time our brother Hayakawa got up on the top of the van at San Francisco State and put an end to the situation that was going up there. And that's all I can see. The majority of people just work, keep their mouth shut, and kind of feel bad about everything. So there's only one thing that's going to really turn this around. And guess what it is? Power. Righteousness is always a question of power. If people, don't you find in yourself that you would like to do good, but sometimes you do wrong because it's like something's got a hold of you and you don't have the power to resist it? How many have ever noticed that? Righteousness is, I think there's very few people that actually want to do wrong. They want to do wrong. They just want to mess up. Most of us, most of the time, wish we were better. We just wish we were better. Did you ever wish you were better? Well, I have wished I was better. And the reason we're not is that we lack enough power to do what we feel we should be doing. I'm not talking about going out surrounding abortion clinics. I'm not talking about that kind of power. I'm talking about power to do what our conscience tells us is correct. That takes power. Now, we can't, being a witness for Jesus, I like what Eddie Ryder likes to say. He's quoting, I think, St. Francis of Assisi, is it? We all should be bearing witness at all times. And if you have to say something, do it. There's a lot of truth in that. In other words, our witness is not our talk about church or about our religion. Pat, that's not what our witness is. I mean, there's more people talking about their church and about religion, and then they do all kinds of foul deeds. People want to see the gospel in shoe leather. You are the written epistle. I am the written epistle. We are Paul's writing. The new covenant cannot be written on paper. What we carry around is not the New Testament. What we carry around is a record of people who themselves were the New Testament or New Covenant. These words are interchangeable. Now let me go through that again. What we carry around under our arm is not the New Testament or New Covenant. You find in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians that it says that God now is writing the covenant on the tables of the heart. It cannot, the old covenant, Mosaic covenant, can be written on stone, parchment, paper, cloth, the walls of your house. But the new covenant can be written only in the human heart. We are the flesh becoming the Word, because the Word is being formed in us. Christ is the Word become flesh. Now, when He's being formed in us, we are the flesh becoming the Word. Does that make sense to you? People may never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but they're going to read you. Especially people of third world countries. The poorer they are, the more sensitive they are. We're so burdened with materialism, we actually destroy ourselves. We don't realize it. We don't see it. We think we're happy because we have things. And there are contemplative people from other cultures would say, you don't know what peace is. You're destroying yourselves with your worship of things. So I'm not here to change our worship of things. I'm just telling you that God will probably send some of us to other countries. There's a great need for the gospel of the kingdom. Just, you don't have to go past Tijuana, actually. You don't have to go past Poway. We're loaded with Filipino people, Spanish-speaking people. And these people are more sensitive. We've got to, until the American way of life destroys their innate sensitivity, they are very sensitive to what you are, what I am. Not what we're telling them about our religion, but what do they see in us? Do they see kindness? Do they see humility? Or do they see arrogance like we's the people? A little girl, 10 years old, went across my path the other day. This little girl has suffered a great deal, mostly because the people in her lives died from one reason or another. And then finally her dog got run over. And, you know, we would have spared her all these things. Every one of them we would have spared her. But the result is a very humble, quiet little girl with a sweet spirit. And sometimes our American children are not humble, and that's because we're not. They're not quiet, and that's because we're not. They're not sweet, and that's because we're not, unless you measure sweetness by fancy clothes and lipstick. But I mean a genuinely sweet spirit that you can feel. I told you years ago that one time when I was teaching in a school up in Palo Alto, I was marveling in the playground. The children would stand in one place and jump up and down and scream for no reason. They were just so full of nervous excitement. And then in contrast, I saw a little girl, again about 10 years old in India, who works 8 hours a day, 6 days a week, in her rug-making factory. You would think, oh, you know, child labor laws. We were there on a holiday, The little girl was there in the factory, and I said to the owner, who was a Christian, I said, why is she here? It's a holiday. He said, she enjoys it so much, she just wants to be here. And I watched the children in India, little ones out gathering firewood, I mean 6 and 7 years old, other little children leading water buffalo. I saw one little boy leading about, I would say, 40 water buffalo. This was over near the Bay of Bengal, and the buffalo were lined up in columns of two, and a rows of two, I should say, and the little boy was ahead of them, leading them, and he had a little stick. Now, what's a little stick going to do against a water buffalo? Oh, those are powerful animals. But there they were going along, and it was one of the most peaceful scenes I have ever seen in my life. It was kind of toward dusk, and they were returning from where they had been feeding, I gather, and going home. And he was just walking, and they were just lumbering, these huge water buffalo, just coming behind him, lumbering along like that, so obedient and so nice. So people that have suffered, people that do not have material things, are often very sensitive. And they know before you open your mouth what type of person you are. They can feel it. I don't know if that's getting mystical or not, but you know what I mean. You can feel sometimes people when you're near them. You know about what they are. And that's what God's after. Not a lot of religious talk, but people in whom Christ is being formed. Now, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for Acts 1:8 in this church. At least I am, and I hope many will join me with that five-letter word in mind. And what is that? Until. Now, you say, it'll never happen. Let me tell you, I have never read of a church praying for God's Holy Spirit that He didn't pour it out. The problem we don't have it is we don't ask. We substitute a program. Now we're going to put on this program. Now we're going to put on that program. Next Sunday we're going to have the Swedish bell ringers. And after that we're going to have the football team. We're going to have the Bolts. And after that, we're going to have a movie star. That'll bring them. Sure it will. But it'll bring the wrong crowd. Oh, Lord, this is going to be terrible on television. This is killing me. Peggy, we can't send this one. Don't send this one, Peg. Because I don't think I'm at the end yet. That's why I couldn't sleep last night. You can pray, you could do that. And I know you will. So, we're going to pray until, and it's going to happen. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I don't know these things come unexpectedly after people have prayed. I do know there's a better spirit in this church this morning than I can remember ever just walking in and feeling that going up. It was just marvelous. So I want to encourage you to keep on praying. God is hearing. Answer. He will always answer. But we don't always pray, do we? All right, the other verse, and Vi had it up, I guess, by premonition, is Acts 5:32. Now, this is kind of key, and it applies to every one of us. See, the word witnesses. A witness is somebody that has seen and heard and are telling about something they personally have experienced. And when God sends you someplace, whether it's around the corner or to a relative or whatever, you are a witness. You are a witness of that which you have seen and heard with Jesus Christ. And if you're sensitive to the situation and to the person, you'll know what you are to do. That doesn't mean you're supposed to go and bring them to a decision. Oh, Lord, these terms. You don't try to grab people by the neck and bring them to a decision. It's like a farmer going out and saying, well, we're going to have a crop here. Great, start harvesting it. It's all imaginary. You feel, what does the Lord want? How many know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? Well, what does God want here? Does he just want me to smile, be a friend, rebuke somebody, leave? Or tell them about my experience with Christ? Or just shut up and listen? Or what? You're bearing witness of something real. You're not preaching. Preaching and witnessing are two different things. You can't preach. If you get a witness called up in court and say, we've got a witness, Your Honor. All right. A judge will be here. He'll tell you about that. You don't preach. He'll say, the facts, lady. Just the facts. Keep it to the facts. We don't want your opinion. We don't want your reaction or anything. But I saw him and he was driving drunk. How do you know he wasn't having a diabetic coma? How do you know he wasn't having a heart attack and trying to get himself to the hospital? The facts, lady. The facts. Make sense?
Yes.
No. That's what a witness does. They tell only what they know. What they have experienced. It's not preaching. Preaching is different. You can preach up a storm and you have hardly experienced anything if you have a gift of preaching. That's a gift. But witnessing, it takes years to make witnesses. They have to know God. They have to go through waters and fires and disappointments and frustrations and patience before God says, well, I've got a witness going here. Because you're telling about something that you know about. And the Bible says, let us be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. So you don't buttonhole people. You just be. Be what you are, what you're becoming. Just be what you're becoming. Now, to whom does God give His Spirit? No idea. Those who obey Him. And so, the more obedient you are to the written word and to the word to you personally, the more you will help answer our prayer here for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Your obedience will be a brick in the wall there. It will count, believe me. There's nothing. God respects integrity and obedience. These two things. These are the matrices, in which faith, hope, and love are formed. If you don't have obedience and integrity, you'll never have faith, hope, and love, because that's where they're formed. That's where they're formed. Sometimes integrity and obedience are not stressed enough, but the original sin was disobedience. Christ's obedience made salvation possible. That's in the 5th chapter of Romans. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By one man's obedience, we were made righteous. That's how important obedience is. And if you are obedient to God, no matter what He says to you, you will make things possible in the world that will not otherwise be possible. God's problem with His whole creation, angels, cherubim, people, seraphim, the Melchizedekian priesthood, and everything else, the problem, hear me, is rebellion against His will. It's the main problem in the universe. God cannot find creatures, angels, anyone else, very few, who will do His will exactly. That's better preaching than you may understand, because I'm not speaking altogether out of my mind. But things that I have seen and experienced, what God can't find enough creatures who will obey Him. To me, that's a mystery, because I think the greatest thing in life is to be obedient to your Creator. How many people in the world today are obeying God? How many people in the churches are obeying God? Now let me ask you a question. Are you obeying God? You may be young, you may be old. Are you obeying God? If not, you're part of the problem. You're the reason we have wars, sickness, everything else in the world. Oh, just my little rebellion? You're part of it. You see, because we're either obedient or we're disobedient. Is that true? How many agree with that? We're either obedient or just... See, people look for a middle. They say, well, surely there's got to be something in the middle. I don't want to be called disobedient because that's a rebel. And yet I don't want to put myself out in the line and say I'm going to obey God because that may interfere with my plans. Surely there's got to be something in the middle. Hey, George, there's nothing in the middle. This white boy doesn't do so good, Lord. You should be saying, right on, go get it, let's hear it. Oh, it's just, can it be true? I'm telling you, things learned over 60 years. Obedience. If you are not this morning telling God that you will obey Him in every detail, no matter what it means in your life, you are a rebel. And I'm not talking about Tennessee or any other places where our Marines come from. We don't like things that plain, by I tell you. We don't like it that plain. No. There's got to be a way. There's got to be an angle. It can't be. He's not saying. Is he saying that I can't have my own life the way I want it? Is that what he's saying? Pretty poor preaching. Pretty poor preaching. That is. I can go to 35 churches in this county and not hear that. Not hear how wonderful it is. Nobody will hear anything harmful at the judgment seat of Christ. Boy, I could tell you something out of Daniel right now, but I'm not going to. I want to keep it simple for you. You're either obeying God or you are not. Well, I'll obey Him, Bill. I'll obey Him in the big things, but not in the little things. Won't wash. How would you like your child to say to you, Mom, what, honey? I need $20. Kids don't ask for a quarter anymore. Forget that. I need $20. What for? Candy. Well, the price of sugar is going up, you know. All right, then, but I want you to do what I tell you. Well, Mother, I'll obey you in the big things. Like I'll come home sometime tonight after 11:30. But I'm not going to do every little thing you say. Who do you think you are, anyway? I'll report you to the UN. And what would you think of that if your child said to you, Mom, I'll obey you in the big things, but not in the little things. Now, how would you do with that? You say, okay, honey, here's your $20. Get all the candy you want. Ruin your teeth. I want you to love me. Here's $20. I'll buy your love. Everybody looks amazed. We've got to get David Wagner back here with his chair to lighten things up. Now, there's not... You don't hear much preaching about obedience. You'll hear it about faith. You'll hear about other things. But you won't hear much about obedience. But obedience is the main thing. It was the original sin. And God, that's the way God tested Abraham. And he became the father of all who believed. Jesus Christ purchased salvation, according to Romans 5, by his obedience. His obedience. Can't stress it too much. Yeah, you make a... When the Lord came, the prophetic word came, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. doing God's will should be a delight. It is a delight. Oh, why wouldn't it be a delight to somebody in the house here? Well, because you're thinking maybe he doesn't want me to do what I want to do. Is that right? Anybody in here that's thinking that way, slip up your hand. It is not a delight to me because I think God might want me to do something I don't want to do it. No hands. Well, then you have a decision, don't you? You have a simple, plain, old decision to make. You're either going to do what you want, or you're going to do what God wants, or you're going to do what you want and hope and pray that somehow it will come out that that's what God wants. But you're not about to say to the Lord, I'm going to do whatever you say. You're not going to do that, are you? Or are you? I bet you some will. But it should not be a drag. It should be a joy. But I got all these things in my mind. You know what? I'm going to get married, or I'm going to buy a house, or I'm going to buy a car, or I'm going to buy a Kawasaki. I'm going to buy a hog. I'm going to roar around the countryside. Is what exactly what I'm going to do. Jeannie, you didn't put enough lemon in this water. Doesn't it kill you when your throat tickles? Oh, I hate that. Coughed myself last night, tried to go to sleep. Cough. Peg, don't send this tape in. I'm compelled to do this about once every 2 years. This happens to me. The Lord said, preach, so I'm preaching. Oh, Lord, maybe I won't have to cough. He didn't say that. He just said, preach. Okay. So you've got these plans. So you get your Kawasaki, and it'd be, you end up like a lady up on Jesmond Dean Road, 100 yards from our house, the other night, drove off the road and killed herself. So that wasn't so red hot. Oh, but I'm going to solve all my problems. I'm going to get some new furniture. You get some new furniture? You know what? The spring under here is broken. Well, you got to get it back to the shop. So back to the shop we go. Look, you got to repair this broke. You broke it. No, we didn't break it, honestly. When we bought it, it was like this. We did not break it. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. So now you've got a choice, don't you? Either eat it or go to small claims court. No happiness there. Well, I'm going to get married. Oh, boy. Then I'm going to be happy. It's a good thing we feel like that, otherwise life wouldn't go on. But we don't say to ourselves, now were my mother and father all that happy? We don't ask ourselves that. Stupid. You know, science is logical observation. That's what it is. Oh, the science is no more than logical observation. That's what it is, Mark. Logical observation. Observation coupled with logic. That's all science is. And we look around, we say, now, here's my aunt and uncle. How happy are they? Don't mention it. Well, there's grandma and grandpa. Well, they've been at their throats for 50 years. And this is how you're going to get yourself happy? It's not really bright, people. And it certainly isn't scientific. So then where is happiness? Only one place. It's not out of two places. It's in doing God's will. There's no other place that there's joy. There's no other place. How many people learn that in their brief life? God wants to make us happy. And when we do His will, we're happy. And when we don't, we're unhappy. Then we have to face an angry Christ when we died because we didn't do His will. Makes no sense. God gives His Spirit to those who obey Him. Let's say it together. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. All right, we're standing on Acts 1:8, which is what? You know that. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We bear witness. The apostles bore witness because Christ was in them and they did mighty works of power. Now, that's what God wants in this church. I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord Jesus is what he wants. Somewhere, we have got to have in the United States a beginning of moral reformation. And it is, can only happen as God sends from heaven the Holy Spirit of power. Power. Power to cast out devils. Power to cause repentance. People will repent. Well, now, right now, we're going to pray. And I'm not finished, so don't breathe a sigh of relief because it's too soon. And we're going to pray. And I want you to agree with me. Now, we're going to pray that God will pour out his Spirit on this church. We say, well, how not every church is? That's their business. Let them pray. I'm concerned about this church. And I hope all the other churches do the same. But I'm praying specifically for this church. That God will pour out his Spirit that will bring about repentance. Can you say amen? Amen. Bring about, that's the witness. That's, God is not saying today he's pleased with everybody. He's saying he's displeased. And so the true witness is that we must repent. That's the true witness. All this other triumphalism about how great we are and about how a new day is dawning, all this stuff is triumphalism. It's not what God is saying. What God is saying is the abortion and the homosexuality are going to bring the wrath of God on America. Yes. And so we're praying, and we pray for our church, that God will pour out his power upon us. We're hoping to affect the whole country. And I hope that's not too big a vision for you. I have no problem with it. God, because that's the way revivals happen. They start in one place and they go out and they spread. So God says, you have not because you ask not. I told you one time I prayed, I want to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Wherever men breathe the air. December, we had a viewable bandwidth. We had actually 20 gigs in the bandwidth, for those of you who know what I'm talking about. But some of that is robots that are gathering information like from Google and Inktomi and other things. But we had conservatively 10 gigabytes. Let me explain that to you. That's December, just the month of December. The King James Bible, a gigabyte is 1,000 megabytes. A gigabyte is 1,000 megabytes, okay? The King James Bible, if you read it from cover to cover, the information transferred from the page to you would constitute 2.5 megabytes. The whole King James Bible, 2.5 megabytes. 10 gigabytes would be as though 4,000 people read the King James Bible from cover to cover. That's how much information was transferred from our site last month. 4,000 people reading the King James Bible. That would be 10 gigabytes. Okay? So you see, God is answering that wild prayer that was prayed on a prayer walk years ago in Palo Alto, in which there was no way for that to happen. There were no personal computers. There was no internet or nothing, just a prayer. God, you said, ask what you will and it shall be done. And I said, I want to preach the gospel of the kingdom wherever people breathe the air. And I saw a statistic the other day on how many new people are going online across the world. That's astonishing. This is the means we have of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What I'm pointing out to you, that isn't the whole solution by any means. The solution in the United States is power. We have to have the power of God, like the Welsh revival, like the Indonesian revival, like the Jonathan Edwards. We've got to have the power of God, or our nation is just going to go down until God just has to destroy it. He's not going to put up with the stuff that goes on. And so that's why God is moving on me and on you and maybe on many other people, saying, pray, you shall be witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. So if we obey him, what will he do? Give us his Holy Spirit. Isn't that what he says? How many believe the word? Well, he gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can demonstrate and preach repentance. Repentance. Our country has got to repent. We can't go on murdering fetuses like this and making sex a big laughing stock. So the young people grow up and they think it's cute to live together without marriage, and when it's actually fornication. And fornicators cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. But it's so common that the kids grow up and they think it's all right for us to live together. It isn't. It is sin. Sin. And this is throughout our nation. The vulgarity in the movies is all sin. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. And if God doesn't have mercy on us and intervene with power, it's going to take power. You don't think the New York Times and all and the Washington Post and all the rest of them are going to hold hands and sing Ring Around the Rosie so that everybody will repent. It's got to be power from heaven. Hallelujah. How many believe God is up there? How many believe that's what the Bible says? Then let's pray about it. And while we're praying, we're going to pray right now, and then I'm going to preach a little bit more, and then I'm through here. We're going to pray that God will do what he said. You shall receive power. He'll send his Holy Spirit upon us. I'm not talking about a change in us or anything else. That's something else again. I'm talking about power from heaven. Amen? Now, while we're praying, I want you to tell the Lord in your heart, yes, I will obey you. No matter what you say, I will obey you. And you've just got to believe that God is not going to lead you into something that's going to be painful and destructive. You've got to have faith that what God wants for you is good and joyous. That was the issue in the beginning. Yes, God said don't eat, but he knew if you ate, you'd be better off. Wasn't that what it was? That's the same thing he's telling you while you're sitting here right now. If you don't do this, you'll be better off. That's the voice of the serpent. What did Adam and Eve gain from that? They went outside, were driven out of the garden, and argued with each other for 900 years whose fault it was. That's why married people fight all the time. It's from Adam and Eve arguing outside for 900 years about whose fault it was that got thrown out of the garden. Didn't you know that? No, well, anyway, I'm being facetious, but nonetheless, there's a point there. All right. We're going to pray. And you tell the Lord, yes, I'll obey you. It's blind trust. I'm jumping off into the dark. But I will obey you because the man says I'll be better off if I do. Lord, we come unto you this morning. You'll be telling the Lord right now you'll obey him so he can help with this thing. Lord, we're coming unto you. God, we need power. We need power, Lord. We need, you said, you shall receive power. You said, wait in Jerusalem until you would be endued with power from on high. How in the world, Lord, are we going to turn this thing around in America, the abortion and the homosexual practice, the weird stuff that goes on, and sadism and masochism and the thieving and the fraudulent practices and the dishonesty and every other destructive thing, the abusing children and all that you could possibly imagine that comes straight out of the pit of hell. And it's going on in our nation, which is supposed to be a Christian nation, and there's not a thing we can do about it, Lord. Unless you pour out your power. Father, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So we can bear witness of what your will is today, is that this stuff stop. Yes. Yes. And nothing else is going to stop it except your power. Yes. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're asking and we're going to ask until, Lord, so you're not going to get any rest. So don't think about that. We're going to ask until.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Until you answer with power from on high. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I think some of you, I'm trying to sense in the spirit what you're doing, and I think you're either afraid or something. Give yourself to the Lord and don't worry about it. You'll be better off if God moves. It may interrupt your life. On the other hand, it may save it. Because the way the future's going, your life will be in peril in any case, and so will your kids. They'll be growing up in a terribly violent, sexually oriented thing in which they won't even be safe. So you can't protect them. The only protection is if God turns this thing around. God, we need your help. We need your help, Lord. We need your help. Now, Father, personally, we agree to do your will. We don't want to play church, Lord. We want to do your will. Make it known to us, Lord. Just show us what your will is. We will do it, Lord. You name it. You've got it. It doesn't matter what it is. We will obey God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We will do your will, Lord. Yes, we will. Amen. Now I'm going to take 5 minutes and then we'll be out of here. I didn't go down to the gifts. See, we're approaching the gifts. See, we're moving slowly through this syllabus, so be sure to bring it each time. We're approaching the gifts and I didn't mention it. Now, that's the second thing. We're praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit from heaven. And this gift thing is different. It's not the same thing. It has to do with your personal finding what it is God wants you to do. You're going to have to dig. You're going to have to pray. You can't take anything for granted. Whether you have a ministry now or you don't, you don't take it for granted. God wants us, everyone in this room, to have a gift or and a ministry. Hear me. This is the body of Christ right here. A gift and a ministry. And so ask for whatever you want. We need all kinds of things. Discernment and giving and praying and everything you can think of. And expect. You say, is it real? It's real. It may hit you in the middle of the night or during the day, but you'll know when it hits you. So be expectant. Now, you say, I think God wants me to do so and so. By the way, when people are prayed for the sick, when we pray for the sick anymore, it's always been my way of calling up the elders, which is the same as council members. It's the same thing, elders and council members. But the next time I'm going to extend the invitation to anyone who feels, we bring up this person before us who is sick, and anyone who feels they may have that person's healing, then I want you to come forth also. You don't have to announce yourself. Just come. Because we know from the way healing works, sometimes a person will have your healing, and I can call up every person that's an elder and ever has been a council member, everything else, and not get that person that has the healing. Do you follow me? So it may be you, and there may be several people in here who have that kind of a gift, or you may feel that you discern something that needs to be addressed. Okay? We'll try to help you and guide you. Now, you say, how do I do that? I'm running, trying to get it through in 5 minutes. How do I do that? What you do when you think God is leading you to do something, and you prayed about it, you take one small step. Just once, for the smallest step you can possibly take in that direction. And then watch the fruit. See what eventuated from your action. Just watch it carefully. See if it seems like God. If it does, then take another small step in that direction and watch the fruit. And see if it looks like God is with you. And you keep taking these little steps, the first thing you know, you'll be in a ministry. Everyone in this church. We don't want dead branches in here. Okay? If someone comes in, we greet them, they're friends, and we enjoy them coming. That isn't the issue. I'm talking about people who regard this as their church home. God wants you to have a gift in a ministry. But you're going to have to ask for it? Oh, he didn't answer today. You ask for it until you get it. Shall we stand?